You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
El Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
La presión fue con cuatro. Al final, Reed con la recepción consigue el primero y diez. Y sigue avanzando Reed y sigue arrastrando.
Jane Reed, equivalente a Debo Samuel, pero en Wisconsin. Yes, yes. Bienvenidos. Hola, ¿qué tal? What's good, everybody? What's up, mi familia? Especially my hermana, my prima, my prima hermana, MJ Casa Ruiz. This Woo! Is the El Huddle Podcast. Prima hermana, I know that you're on top of your New Year's Eve or New Year's resolutions, I should say. I hope it wasn't just on New Year's Eve. How are we with keeping up with it?
We're
it's been
great.
Barely a week, yeah.
It's been barely a week, but I think one of the resolutions was to do less in terms of being just stressing myself out for no reason. So thus far, a few days into the year, I feel like I'm doing all right.
Yeah, okay. But it's not even a full week yet.
No.
So we still have to see, right?
No. But I think traveling back, I was able to spend some time at home, which I hadn't done in years.
Yeah, how was that?
Much, much needed. It was so good just to be with my family. It felt foreign, but also just comfortable at the same time. Like, it took me a few days to sort of get out of the mode that we're always in. Mm-hmm. But it's taking advantage of when you do have the days unexpectedly in the middle of the football season to be able to bring yourself back and ground yourself back with family. So that was great. My niece she runs that house, boy. Woo!
Yeah.
She had us all in it.
La manda más. We call it La manda más.
She was obsessed with the dog and a little too much. Poor Gunny would just look at me sometimes like, help. You remember that cartoon, Elvira? With the Bugs Bunny.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
going to hug him and squeeze him and never let him go. That was her.
Oh, that was a great comparison.
Amazing.
I loved getting the photos from you and, well, a few of the photos. Some of them, one of them in particular, was of you and your niece, and you both have the suitcases you're toting around. So is this the first year that she's doing this tradition, or
I'm not sure if she had done it before, because again, I haven't been home for the holidays in so long. Last time I was home for the holidays, she was just a few months old. But she was the first one. We were all very busy eating the uvas, eating all our grapes, right? And she, the second we finished, like, Happy New Year, she's like, I'm getting my maleta. I'm getting my suitcase. She was the first one, and nobody else moved. And I was like, oh, I'm not about to let her do this by herself. So I ran to the room, grabbed my suitcase, and she was like, yeah, Titi. So, like, we ran outside, and that was the video and the pictures that I sent you guys. She was so excited. it was awesome that she's already into it, right? And she fully understood what it meant. I was mm-hmm. like, where do you want to go this year? She's like, I want to go to Santo Domingo. I want to go visit you in Los Angeles. Like she
gets goals.
It. She yeah. has goals. She has a travel list, honey. She's ready to go. Yes. Yeah.
Well, among the pictures that you also texted me were, because I felt like you were on Natividad patrol, right? Yes. And we were talking about that, you know, like in Nuestras Familias, you know, it's yeah. like those nativity scenes, like Natividad is like, it's really important. It's like mm-hmm. the more you have, the closer you are,
for sure.
to mm-hmm. a higher presence in something. Life. So, but I want to say like you were going around, you were taking photos, like there was like a good five or six.
Yeah.
And one of them had like a bunch of dogs because they ran out of,
sheep.
Yeah, so
it's called innovation. Okay, one thing about Latinos, they're gonna figure out a way to fill the nativity scene in any way possible. That was at the church my parents go to, which of course my mom on the first or was it New Year's Eve? One of the 2 days. All the days are blurring together. She's like, I need to take you to La Virgen, right? Because you know how Latina moms feel about La Virgen.
Oh yeah.
And it was very sweet. She's like, I just want you to like set your intentions. But she's like, La Virgen de Lourdes. She's like the Virgin of Miracles. I'm like, Mom, what miracle is it that you're trying to do? I feel like she was trying to sway me in a specific direction here. But that's where the nativity scene was. And there was a lot going on with the scene over there, but it was cute. So I was like, I have to show Will.
Yeah. Oh no, I was here. Getting such a kick out of it. And I told you, when I saw that photo, and it was just all, you know, like the little dogs that were there.
It's like,
no me importa. I mean, that's just something. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter at all.
Maybe there were dogs. We don't know. We weren't there.
Maybe. Quien sabe, right?
Prairie but it's dogs. All about,
maybe. Who knows? I do know that tamales is a big deal during this time as well. And a friend of ours brought over a plate full of them. And it's just so good. Close my eyes, take me back. It's Latinos. What is it about tamales that just hit the spot? It just
they do.
Right.
See, we call them pastel en hoja. It's very similar, but they're made with ground up plantain. So it's very similar to tamales, and they're wrapped in the leaves. But yeah, it just hits different, especially in the holidays. How many did you have?
So far, I think I've had like at least 8.
Nice.
So, but like in this plate that I got, I haven't come across any sweet ones yet. So I don't know if there are any sweet ones. Yeah.
Maybe.
So
it's going to be a surprise. A surprise.
Yes. Surprise. I mean, are they still good? I mean, they should be good, right?
They're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
When did it come? Christmas or New Year's?
It came New Year's.
Oh, it's fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
I think you're
okay. But good for a week?
Yeah, I think so. Are they in the fridge? Should be fine.
Yeah. They've been in the fridge.
Yeah, the eye test.
You got me worried. All of a sudden, I'm like,
"This will be fine."
Oh, MJ, adios, prima hermana.
Okay. I'm shocked that they've lasted this long because, like, the leftovers at our house were, I mean, maybe a day and a half gone.
Yeah.
Granted, it was a full household. We were all up in there in my parents' house, so nothing lasted more than a day. If we
so what is do they have a whole refrigerator full of leftovers and Tupperware in there because like my parents would always have, you know, a Tupperware just for, you know, tomates, lechuga. Mm-hmm, they would have one for la carne, whatever it is. They had like a bunch of little ones all over the place. So like literally it was like a food game of Jenga. As soon as you pull it out, you know, it all comes down.
You got to take everything out. And of course, you know that the Tupperwares are not it. One thing about Latinos, we can recycle. Okay. Because everything was a bin that belonged to something else. So like the butter bin tub, right? That's usually where the beans go. Anything you can imagine, they have repurposed, they have upcycled, and now it is holding some kind of leftover at this point, which I think is brilliant. It saves you money, it mm-hmm. helps the planet. But it is the fridges were full. And then my parents really wanted to, you know, the way they spoil you is with food. That's the love language.
That's right.
So I tried to work out while I was there, but I also didn't care because I don't eat this stuff on a regular basis. The recipes. So I requested sancocho from my mom, which is like this Caribbean beef stew. It has what we call víveres, which is a lot of like plantains, yuca, a lot of like root vegetables in it. And then it has beef, it has chicken, it's delightful. It's delicious, but it takes all freaking day to make. So my mom hasn't made it in a really long time. She calls one of my tias, her sister. And I'm talking to my tia and she's like, oh, throwing shade. She's like, oh, qué lástima que tu tía no está ahí para hacerte el sancocho. Because she knows she makes the best sancocho of all the sisters. I'm like, this is so rude. Why you got to throw shade at my mom like that? For the record, my mom's sancocho was bomb. Like it came out so good. We ate it for like, because the pot that she made, I don't know where Latina moms get these Flintstone large size pots, but they all have them. So we have sancocho really for a day. Yeah, it's huge, but it was great. Yeah,
my mom, she keeps giving us Christmas towels. Like Christmas towels.
What do you mean?
It's just like, because she just has collected a bunch of Christmas towels and has been drip of giving us las toallas, you know, and a lot of them
your stocking stuffer.
I don't know what they are, but they literally are like bathroom towels, really just a zillion of these. I mean, they're not even like cooking towels. We made one of them, the Santa one, you know, into a cooking towel, but it just is funny. Part of that is like, you know, my mom likes to just have a bunch of stuff, like just
ready to go.
Hoarding stuff, you know, is
it always comes in handy, yes or no. Oh yeah. She's always got a gift for somebody.
Mm-hmm. Nunca se sabe, right?
Nunca se sabe. My mom will pull out a gift out of nowhere. Oh, it's so and so's birthday. Boom. She's got wrapping paper. She's got tissue paper. She's got to get the perfect gift at any time. There's no running to Target. She's got it in her closet.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like with the wrapping paper or with the bags that you use, like for a bottle of booze, right?
Yeah.
Or those are like heavy in rotation, where we get some and then hold on to them. So I don't know if that's
a
hereditary thing. Yeah, you just don't. You hold on to them until you put like a bow on there and there's a tear and then it's over. Then it's marked. Then ahora está en la lista negra, right? So then it's done. It's over. It's out.
There was an interesting debate at the house, though, because we had a lot of football to watch, right? So my dad and myself and my husband and my brother, everybody's excited. My mom's like, how is there another game today? She's like, Christmas Day. I was like, this is yes, mom. This is what's happening. Like at one point, she was like, I'm over it. And then the next day comes and it's college football. She's like, you know what? We're watching a movie. And she put her foot down. So we had to watch The Grinch. But of course, my dad and I are following the game on my phone. I was like, mom, this is work for me. Like, I really do have to watch these things and follow along. And she was very gracious, like for most of the days. You know, she's pittering around. She's doing stuff. She's cooking. So she wasn't really paying attention. But she's like, enough. Yeah. Enough with the football.
And all the while, it's like Papi nodding off and he's keeping track.
He was in
food.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He called my uncle 17 times because they're trying to pick the games. It's hilarious. It was amazing.
This is such a big weekend. This is a fun, exciting weekend.
The season finale. Yeah.
It is the season finale. Unfortunately, then comes the Monday afterwards where you start to hear the names of coaches, unfortunately, that are going to lose their jobs and coaching staffs. That's the human part of it that people don't seem to ever get or grasp. But it's a difficult time. Needless to say, that's a conversation for another time.
Right.
Week 18, though, so many backup quarterbacks now who knew week 18 just with the 49ers and the Rams?
I know.
You have two teams, obviously, both playoff bound, and it's Carson Wentz and it's Sam Darnold.
On your bingo card? Because it was not on mine.
Hell nah. Hell nah.
Nope.
That's a perfect situation where they're both resting starters. And there's always this debate of whether you rest guys or you play them to stay sharp. But if you're a playoff team and you're fearful of getting your star players hurt, you'll never hear the end of it if your star player gets hurt. So I think, you got to always go the other way and just be safer with the pick, be more cautious with doing something.
It's a business decision, because at the end of the day, whether guys are banged up or not, it does serve as another bye week, if you will, for these key starting position players, quarterback certainly as well, going into the playoffs. Especially, I think this year's playoffs, this entire season has been so wild, so many twists and turns. So I never get mad at a coach for saying, "Nah, you guys, you guys go out there in your gym clothes, like you'll be fine. Let's see you fresh." Once we get into the playoffs scenarios and the playoff games, because those are the ones that matter. You got one shot.
Yeah.
Win or go home. So if you have already sealed a spot, why wouldn't you sit your guys? Maybe it's not the most thrilling thing for like the folks going, but it's still going to be a fun game. It's still January football. You know what I mean? And these guys will play their hearts out. They will.
Yeah, a la gran perica is what my mom would say. We are going to dive in on all these games too, because there's a lot of them. Some that are going to affect you in particular, prima hermana. So we're going to talk about that and more as we step aside here on the El Huddle podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nos vamos con Baltimore. En Baltimore, desde la yarda 25, Jackson, con el tiempo, el espacio, suelta el pase por derecha. Flowers, Villachau, 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 chau, chau. Touchdown, Baltimore. Otra vez Jackson quema la secundaria de Miami. Pone un bombazo por el lado derecho para Flowers, que encuentra la zona prometida.
I love the Casa de Papel reference there with the Bella Ciao for all my Casa de Papel fans. That was fantastic. Love the reference. Did not love the game for my Dolphins.
No, man, it was
tough to watch. However, I was sort of mentally prepared for this. Not because I didn't have faith in the Dolphins, but because of how the Ravens have consistently played every single week. Plus, they weren't home. We know what their defense was capable of. Raheem Mostert wasn't in the game. Jalen Waddle was. It was just a lot to overcome at this point in the season against a team that clearly has locked up the number one seed in the AFC. That was an intense game, and the Ravens showed up not just how I expected, but beyond that. So anyone who will have to go toe-to-toe with them, which will probably be the Dolphins in the postseason, it's a tall order. It's a tall task, but they have shown us who they are this entire season, and they've only gotten better every week. I would be very surprised if they weren't in the AFC championship game.
Yeah, I agree. They're right now the team to beat, and they aren't just beating teams. They are annihilating teams.
Yeah.
They did it to the Dolphins. They did it to the 49ers. I mean, they seem like they're a well-oiled machine where Lamar Jackson isn't taking a pounding back there in the pocket. Right. He's getting mostly clean looks, and when he doesn't, he's slithering out of the pressure, and he's clearly now the MVP. There is no question about it. There's no debate. Yes, we had other people like Tua and Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, you name it.
He's firmly in that top spot.
He's firmly in that top spot and deservedly so. And clearly that offense under Todd Monken has really, really shown itself in these games where Lamar just is picking apart secondaries from back there. Yeah. So Lamar is now going to have this final week off in week 18. So it's going to be Snoop Hundley who is going to be starting against the Steelers. Now, if you look at that game with the Steelers and the Ravens, the Steelers have a lot to play for themselves. Yeah. They are squarely in this thing. Right now, I mean, they clinch a playoff berth with several scenarios in front of them. They need to win first off.
Have to win.
That has to be what happens. And then they have to become big-time Dolphins fans. And then that's the clear path for them right now. There's a few other scenarios that we don't have to get necessarily
into. There's five scenarios. That's not – you never want to have – that many other teams in charge of your destiny.
No. And so that's why they have to win. I know that Harbaugh is going to get his guys ready to play, even though there are going to be some backups in there. Mm-hmm. And the Steelers are looking at Mason Rudolph, who looks like a different player.
Yeah.
He looks comfortable in the system. He has resurrected the fantasy value, if you will, that resurrected the threats of the deep ball now with George Pickens, Deontay Johnson. I mean, the running backs running with authority and Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. I mean, this team is in with TJ Watt coming off the edge there. This is going to be a desperate team. This is one of the best and great rivalries in the NFL. So these two teams hate each other and they have a long history. And I think, the Ravens aren't going to roll over. I think people think that because Lamar's not in there, that the Ravens are just all of a sudden going to stop playing. I just don't see it.
I don't see it either, because there's a lot to be said about momentum, right? And like, that's what we were talking about a moment ago. They have consistently not just proven that they're the real deal, but consistently improved every single week, which is scary if you're in the AFC for sure. All right, well, let's jump over to the NFC, because you did mention Brock Purdy there for a bit. The Niners have the division title. They have the number one seed, first round bye, home field advantage, all the bells and whistle. We know that Brock is not going to play. He needs a minute to, you know, get undinged up. And like, why would he? They've listened to the list of things I just read aloft. But I do want to know, before we get into what's coming for them, how did your son's fantasy team fare? I juked you.
Sixth place, sadly. Injuries were too difficult to overcome. It didn't matter if it was CJ Stroud, Tank Dell, Kirk Cousins. Somebody.
Yeah,
and then some of the players like Ja'Marr Chase and Stephon Diggs, coincidentally, two studs there that just never were able to get it going, sadly.
But I'm sure he's happy that the Niners are in the position that they are right now.
Absolutely happy, and he knows this team, this iteration of the 49ers, this is perhaps the best team that they've had since their Super Bowl run with Jimmy G under center when they faced the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. At this point in time for them, it's just a matter of staying healthy, trying to get these guys on the D-line ready to go. Like Eric Armstead, he's missed time. You know, McCaffrey's got a mild calf strain. If the game would have meant something, he would have been out there playing. Mm-hmm. But at this point in time, I think the 49ers and, as you mentioned, the Ravens, these are the two best teams that I think will ultimately end up in the NFC championship game. You know, for the Rams, no one expected them be in the position that they're in. They were expected to be in a rebuilding year, but it's been the quite opposite, where Puka Nacua has been a revelation, as well as
what a jolt,
Kyron Williams. Yes, And then our buddy on the podcast, Steve Avila, on the O-line, they've got these young players who are believing, playing hard. Yep. And McVay has come out and said, like, yeah, I'm not stepping away from the game, because there was speculation before, several months ago, that maybe this would be the last hurrah for him. But he's going to stay with it, and he should, because this is a talented team, and he's a talented coach. This man,
he's so young.
He's such a young guy, and you could make the argument that this is the best coaching job that he has had, even outside of the Super Bowl runs that he took his team to. So, you know, the Rams certainly are in a position to make some noise. But like you had mentioned, it's like, never would have expected in a million years that it would end up being in week 18, right? Sam Darnold and Carson Wentz.
Wild. The NFC has been interesting as well, especially when we look at the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys looking to clinch that division title this weekend with a win or a tie and an Eagles loss. The Eagles a little bit different than what we expect them to be. Still a force to be reckoned with. Let's not make a mistake about that. But here they are. We thought they would have this thing sealed up, right? So interesting switch there. The Packers, what a game. Last week.
Well, again, the Packers with Jordan Love. I love this for Jordan Love. Absolutely. I mean, how about the Packers? If this ends up working out for them, yet another quarterback that works out for them behind Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
He seems legit to me.
He does seem legit. And again, he goes through his progressions, makes the throws. He can add touch to it. It helps to have the element of Jaden Reed there, this rookie that they've integrated into the offense. Just been so impressed with what Jordan Love has done, you know. But you'd mentioned the Eagles. They've lost four of their last five. They are not the same team. And for some reason, people are targeting. Well, for some reason, I mean, listen, it's a natural instinct by a fan to go after the head coach and the OC, Ben Johnson, and Nick Sirianni, and they're just not the same. And you see, AJ Brown finally spoke to reporters and finally said, "Hey, listen, you know, this is a team game. It's not like the coaches are taking any snaps. It's us who are doing it." And literally on every play, if somebody's off just by a little bit, the whole play breaks down. Right. And so
it's true.
I think it's good that they, or at least he addressed it and got ahead of it before the playoffs and going into the postseason. So and the Cowboys too, it's like they get that win against the Lions and everybody's still talking about how the Lions outplayed the Cowboys.
That was the craziest end to a game I've ever seen.
Yeah, that it was a lot of confusion there, and then a video was sent out about what should be done and checking in with the official. And listen, personally, I just thought the referee didn't see what was happening and was ready to kind of move on. And then obviously there was heat that he was taking, because why take so long? Either way, no need to go even. There's a lot going on there. So, and a lot for the Lions. Like, for example, they are playing their starters. I mean, Dan Campbell is not bleeping around.
He never does.
No.
He never does.
No, but they'll be able to host a playoff game for the first time since 1993.
I know that city is losing it right now.
Yeah. Well, listen, have you watched the Pistons play? Thank goodness they've got the Lions are doing well. I feel bad for them. You've seen
the memes, right? Like, It's
awful. It's
the Lions are doing great, but what did it cost us? The Pistons.
Yeah. Oh no. It's so bad. So I mean, but even it's like the Saints are in the position to clinch the NFC South at this point.
Oh, NFC
with the win and with the Tampa Bay loss or tie, you know, and Tampa, they put themselves in that position to clinch the division title as well. And they're going to be facing Carolina. So that seems to be more favorable for them at this point in time. The Saints are facing Atlanta, but you know, the Bucks facing Carolina, and you know, it's like Baker Mayfield, perhaps the comeback player of the year if it's not Joe Flacco. You know, I mean, it's Baker Mayfield, I mean, looks like he's comfortable in this offense, and it looks like he's earned way more, you know, trust now, yeah, to have him back as the quarterback.
Feels like the Bucks have a pretty good chance of winning this weekend.
I yes, agree. I agree with you. I think
they don't,
honestly,
we got a problem.
That's a big time problem. I'll tell you, like, the problem for you is literally that Sunday night game, the Poppy Bowl part two.
The Acosta Bowl.
Yeah. That's tough, because we were talking about the Dolphins coming into this thing limping. They lose Bradley Chubb. They sorely miss Jalen Phillips. And so many injuries that they're trying to overcome that we talked about. And they're facing a Bills team that has a quarterback who has shoulder issue, right? And but Josh Allen is definitely going to play.
And
this is where – you know, the Bills have been a team that people say you don't want to face, just like the Browns. Sure. But the Bills, they weren't able to shake off the Patriots last week. So
which
the confidence
crazy.
I did have in them, yeah, I lost a little bit of.
Yeah.
But literally, like, they can see their playoff destiny really decided before all of this. You know, it's like, but if, it's like when, you know, they're in, you know, it's like the number, you know, there was the number two seed is up for grabs. It's just, you know, this is one where, you know, the Bills, they just seem to be, though, in just a better spot. We'll see what the Dolphins are made of, as we've been seeing it documented and unfolding on Hard Knocks.
The Dolphins are looking for redemption, too, after the last primetime game that they should have won, that almost won, against the Titans at home. So not only because everything that's on the line, positioning for the postseason, and just momentum going into the post, because I feel like as of late, they have lost a bit of that. Mm-hmm. They have. But guys need to get healthy. So, I mean, I feel like we really saw the effect of not having Raheem Mostert out there. Last mm-hmm. week, I think that hurt them a lot. But the blows that they've taken to the defense, like you said, that is huge, especially with this Bills team. So people really have to step up, especially defensively. I feel like the secondary still has a ton to do. I mean, when you give up 50-something points, I know they're going in those meeting rooms right now.
Yeah,
in Miami Gardens, for sure. But I'm excited, nervous. I'm going to be watching it like this.
Yeah. Hands. Yeah. So but it's literally for Poppy. I think those stakes are quite high.
He's going to have me on FaceTime the whole game. I already know. Or he's going to send me voice.
One or the other. He's going to be on you. But that I think is going to be a massive game Sunday mm-hmm. night. Wow. And then, you know, one last one, and this was with the AFC South, where Houston, what a turnaround they've had there, and to be there, if they win and Jacksonville loses, then they win the division, and the turnaround has been so impressive. They've had to come massive injuries as well, you know, the O-line being at times leaky, but the maturation of CJ Stroud so big, and tremendous. It seems like nobody in that division wants to win this thing, right? And Jacksonville's sputtering. Jacksonville has really struggled, and then you know Trevor Lawrence not being healthy hasn't helped out. So definitely some intrigue. Yeah, and then here comes Indianapolis too, where they can clinch the division as well.
Which we had almost sort of forgotten about Indianapolis for a bit, right? Like after Anthony Richardson, you know, got hurt, we were like, oh, okay, well, that's done. And then suddenly, here they are.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew, getting him in mm-hmm. that position.
Minshew mania once again at 9-7. Like, that's not nothing.
No, not nothing at all, prima hermana. And so that gets us now to our ipunto. Do you have a ipunto, or is really your ipunto, you know, calm down, try not to get too overly
too overly worried.
That was really my resolution for the first week of the year, and I do feel like resolutions can evolve and change a bit as the year goes on, because as you know, this is the busiest time of year for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
With the looming, not just with the playoffs, the second we get into that, everything goes nuts. But then we got the Pro Bowl, then we have the Super Bowl. I mean, it's the Super Bowl is in 5 weeks. That's mm-hmm. it. That's yes. it.
Yeah.
So lock in, you guys. Things are going to get crazy, but I love it. This is the type of chaos that I lean into for sure. This is
I love
the best,
it.
Best yeah. time of the year.
I so, love it. You I'm know, and I, listen, Maipunto, I'm ready for the playoffs, but also you mentioned the Pro Bowl and the selections. It's always a fun thing mm-hmm. that, the kids, the players, it's a fun, like little distraction, fun little honor. We're not going to be able to get a chance to see some of the players like the 49ers they have there. Yeah. And who are deeply in the playoffs, but for the teams that don't have anything really to play for, if they're not playing the role of spoiler, right. having the Pro Bowl nods is a nice little thing to have. So
I'll be at the Pro Bowl, guys. So if you have any requests,
you are going to be there,
guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Fun. I'm excited because the guys are always so just, it's a different vibe, right? They're so relaxed. They're there to have fun, to really take in the fact that fans have voted them there. I think it's going to be really, really cool. I'm excited to see just how it rolls out this year. And I get to finally see the Fly game in person, which we had for the first time last year.
Right.
So it's going to be fun. Yeah.
I know. And I can't wait for you to tell us all about it.
Oh, I'll bring back all the tea. For our El Huddle people, for sure.
Yeah, siempre prima hermana. Well, this has been another edition of the El Huddle podcast. And prima hermana, we welcome people to our familia all the time here. Please. It's all about really amplifying the Latino sports fan here, los Latinos, and the voices that make this game and beyond so great. So please download, subscribe to the El Huddle podcast. As always, we want to hear from you.
All right, guys, we will see you next time. 2024, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Adios, prima hermana.
Adios.
In Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.